You're listening to Currency of Style Podcast, episode number 2. Welcome to Currency of Style Podcast. I am your host, Eva Kelly. This podcast is about supporting women rise in their career, encouraging you to reach for new opportunities and to find more success by elevating your style.
Shivani, thank you so much for joining us today. Did you know you were going to work in tech when you were growing up and going to school?
No, I did not know. I was born in the 80s, right? So I never knew that I'll be working in the tech. But when I chose engineering and growing up in India and studying well, I knew that I wanted to be financially independent. I knew that I wanted to make a difference in my life. But I never knew that it would be tech or what field it would be. I was very clear that I wanted the financial independence for myself. I was very clear that I'm not going to be a housewife. Would it be tech or would it be something else?
So you were totally open to whatever
path. Yeah, I was very open.
Yeah. And what did you study at university?
So I did my electronics and telecommunication engineering degree from a state by name Orissa in India. After that, I got into this job at GE Healthcare.
When you were in school, was there a teacher or someone in your life who inspired you to go into this field?
Oh, yeah, a lot of people. So when we grow up, we look at different people and we kind of get mentored and we look up to them. I would say your parents always are your first mentors. I looked up to my father. He was very much dedicated to his work. He was in a government job in India. At those times, people in government jobs would not be as dedicated, I would see others. So we used to live in a locality where everyone was associated to the same work that my father was doing. And I could see that others were not as dedicated. They could spend a lot of time with their families and all. But then my dad was very much dedicated. And there was this conversation I had with my father. I just asked, at that time, it was very small, maybe 9th standard. And I just asked, why is it that everybody else is able to come home early and all of that, but you don't do that? And he said, see, you are paid for something and it is important that you are dedicated to your work. It is important that you give your 100% and not cheat there. And that is what will take you forward in your life. And that stayed with me all the time. And he was my first mentor. And of course, when you look up to your teachers, my English teacher was someone, she was a lady and a very dedicated person, very charming, loving, and seeing everybody equal, trying to bring up anyone who is not doing very well in the class and all. I was, her name was Savitri. And I was very much impressed. Or rather, I saw her as a role model while I was in school. You get your inspiration, you draw your inspiration from multiple people as you grow up. It could be a person whom you just meet for a few minutes and then you kind of understand that that person is. So you have to observe people and you will derive that inspiration when you see the small nitty-gritty things that they do in life. Yeah. And it's important, like just now when I was talking to you, you said in a fun way I want to help people, right?
Yeah,
it's not a serious one. It's such a good thing that you are trying to bring that small happiness.
Yeah.
For people, you should learn, you need not be serious all the time, and you exactly. Can bring that happiness into someone's life, and if you become the source for that, it's a great thing.
Thank you for bringing that up, because I've had very serious roles, like after my PhD in material science, and you know, and then I ran my own business for a few years, which was exciting but so tough and so much hard work and quite serious, because your livelihood depends on that income. And then I just thought to myself, no, I'm going to do something different that supports women in a way that resonates with me and that's fun, and it's about clothing and style and supporting women earning more money, which is so important to me, because that gender pay gap needs to be completely removed.
Of course.
From your experience, like, was it at all challenging being a woman in tech?
The organization that I work for is a fair organization, and I never saw a challenge being woman in tech there. But yeah, personally, it is a challenge given that when you get married and when you choose to have kids, right? There is a point when you, after you give birth to your kid, and then you want to go back after your maternity leave, right? That is a challenging. The day I chose to go back, first of all, I was not ready. I didn't want to leave my son back home. My mother was there to take care of him, luckily. But still, I was not in a mood to go. But I still went because I wanted to go back to my work. Everything appeared strange, right? Everything appeared as if I'm disconnected. The 6-7 months had passed. Things had moved forward. Everybody was doing something or the other. I was disconnected. I wanted to connect back. People were friendly. People did come to me. They were telling what they are doing and all of that. But then I somehow was not able to relate to all of that. And I just went to my manager. I said, what do you want me to do now? He said, that's your role. It's still there. Just go and start. He just said that. He didn't say anything else. He just said, that's what you were doing, right? That's still there. Go and start. And it was so much inspiring when someone tells that, right? When you are back and you kind of feel clueless, you feel disconnected. And somebody else was doing what I was doing at that point in time. I was a team lead kind of thing. And there was another person who was playing that role. I felt that disconnect was there. But yeah, that one word that he said, that's all yours. You were doing and it's already, it's there. You just go and do whatever you were. And he added one more sentence saying that if you are not ready, let me know. We'll see how to manage. That's what he said. And he did not say anything else. And that was enough for me. I just went and I grabbed the opportunity and I was back to my work.
Yeah,
it's difficult because it is emotional stress for women. But if you get the right support from your family, if you get the right support from the organization that you work for, it makes your day. If you ask me, after 10 years, I'm now my kid is 10. You have to choose the organization for which you want to work. If it doesn't respect you, if it doesn't give you the honor that you deserve, then I don't think that organization deserves you.
I agree.
There are a lot of opportunities out there.
I'd just love to learn about your role. So you work at General Electric Healthcare.
Yes. I'll tell you. So I started working, or rather out of college fresh, I started working for General Electric Healthcare. And I started there as a software engineer, writing code for them. And at that time, cybersecurity was not as important a field in healthcare domain. I'm talking 16 years back, right? So it was not as important. So I was a software developer and then became a team lead, played various other roles, and then finally I had to choose. So career is not always upward, right? It is horizontal as well. You have to make that choice. So I made the choice that now I don't want to go up. I want to make horizontal. I want to build that in-depth knowledge into some domain. And trust me, horizontal is also growth. It's not always vertical growth that is termed as growth. And I chose cybersecurity as that field for myself because cybersecurity was budding at that time. It felt very interesting. Of course, it needed a lot of time for me to learn because I did not know what cybersecurity was. But then I picked the role for product manager for cybersecurity for a particular platform of healthcare devices, which meant that you have to define how your product will be secured from cyber attacks.
Okay.
And it was a transformational role, I would say, because till that time, it was only code that we used to write. But suddenly now you get introduced to a new domain where you get to know how a malicious actor, a person with wrong intentions, can play with your data, with your personal data, with your health data and all of that, and how you can positively contribute in protecting one's personal data. And it was so much to learn by that time, because at that time it was only languages that I was doing, or I was doing a program manager role or something like that. But then suddenly there was so much to learn. It was a new domain, so much reading, so many courses and all. But then it was such exciting thing.
Yeah.
I think cybersecurity is one of the most exciting field. Very budding, a lot of talent needed. And now I'm director at GE Healthcare for cybersecurity. I lead a cybersecurity lab, which performs testing for our products, to find out issues that otherwise a customer would catch. I can vouch that it is a very demanding role where you kind of have to keep yourself updated, but very exciting, always keeps you on your toes. And if you are someone who wants to kind of learn every day and also positively contribute, this is the field.
Yeah, because it sounds very rewarding. You're protecting people's data. And, you know, it's interesting what you're saying about going horizontal as well, because we often think the glory is to go up. And yes, you get an increase in salary and it is really important. But by you going horizontal at that time when there was this new opportunity, obviously you've become an expert in this new field. And then years later, or however long later, then you can rise. And like you've just done, you rose absolutely to the top. You're now the director.
Correct. Exactly. And I'll tell you, salary is not always related to your vertical growth. If you choose the right domain where you need that expertise and you do well, salary will come on its own.
Yeah.
So don't see it as a function of your vertical growth. It will always be a function of your knowledge and how you build that trust and credibility within the organization. Salary is always a function of your credibility and the trust that you build.
I'd love to ask you, so looking at your background and your CV and how you progressed, as we're just talking about, up to this director role, like, were you ever turned down along that path?
Of course, there were instances, at least when you have a long career, 16 years for me specifically, if I can say. So there will be instances where you believe you are the one for a promotion and the organization doesn't. And there will be roles where you would not be fit, but you still believe that you are the one, right? So there were instances where I was not fit for the role and I still felt that I should get it. There were instances where I fit the role very well. I was the one doing that and the next one was for me, but then because of other organization needs and others were selected.
But you had the confidence to put yourself out there.
Of course, yeah. So there was this instance where I kind of was ready and I knew that I will get it. And I was given an indirect signal that, yeah, you will be the person. And then suddenly something else happens and somebody else comes into that role. And I just walked to my manager. I never said anything. I just said, what happened? And he said this one sentence. He said, sometimes you could have all the skills that is needed for a particular job. Sometimes it could be that you are the one who is at the right time, right place for a job, but still it is not the right fit for you. Maybe you can go back and see that what would have happened, that people felt that maybe it's not you. And I can only tell you that doesn't reduce your credibility. It is just that this role is not for you.
Yeah.
Of course, I did not like it for a week or two, probably, or maybe a month. But then those words reverberated with me. I kind of tried to see what would have happened where somebody would have felt that Shivani doesn't fit. It could be the reasons that I thought were right, or it could be that I came up with the wrong conclusion. But because I went back and worked on myself, which I thought could be the reasons, I think I am where I am. And I'm happy that that role didn't happen that day. If it would have happened, I would not be in cyber. And cyber is the go-to field today. And I'm so happy that I did not pick that other one.
Yeah, it's about trust sometimes.
It's about confidence in yourself. And on top of that, being ready to accept that, okay, there could be some wrong in me as well. And it's highly possible that it is not because of that. It is because of some office politics, something. And politics is there across, right? But yeah. If you believe that you can work on yourself and you can make yourself even better than what you are today, if not this, something else.
I think it's so inspiring that you didn't let that deter you. You were brave to go back to your manager.
It does deter someone. It does deter. It does impact you. It impacted me. I won't lie. It impacted me. I was not myself or my usual self for a month, maybe two. But then I didn't let it drown me. I didn't let it impact me so much that it impacts other things of my life. I think I got good support from my husband, from my family.
Do you find that when you asked for the feedback, like, did it make sense to you? And were you able to implement those changes? Or did you feel, you know, it was out of your control?
Very good question. And I think this is something that all of us face in our life, right? You get solicited and unsolicited advices, not only in office, but in personal life as well, right? Sometimes you solicit the advice and people give it to you. Sometimes you don't even, but people still give it to you. I can only say one thing. You need to be very open to listen to people about you. You have to keep your ears open. Listen to it. You don't have to accept everything not needed. And if somebody is trying to bring you down, not needed. Don't let it impact you. But if somebody is giving you a negative feedback and telling you that you have to work on something, don't just brush it off. Maybe keep it there in your mind. Try to work on it. Try to see, is it real? Don't just brush off someone because you don't give any credit to that person. You don't value that person. Even if that's the case, his words might have some weightage. It might not be as bad as he's saying, but it might not be as good as you think you are. So at least reverberate those sentences in your mind to see, is it that I would have done it that wrong? Is it that is a case with me? Can I change myself?
Yeah, to look back over things and to analyze yourself and situations is very important.
Yes,
for your own growth.
It's important.
But then I think it's important that we don't, as women, you know, feel that we have to get more certificates or whatever it is to prove.
Of course not. That's exactly why I said you get solicited and unsolicited advices. You just have to, don't brush it off, but don't let it bog you down.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that if when I say that you have to analyze those, it doesn't mean that you have to step back and start thinking, oh, I'm not doing something right and all of that. And it's just that when you work on yourself and you are like preparing for something, when you're preparing for a job interview, when you're preparing to meet your team, you doing something, it's important that just remember somebody told me something. Should I not repeat those mistakes? That's all. We know what we are. We know what we lack. And that's something that you should build, that you should understand what's not working for you. What are your strengths and what are your weaknesses? Don't seek certification from anyone, not even your husband, please. I can only tell you. You can love your husband and you can care for him. He can care for you. But career-wise, no certifications are needed for anyone, for that matter.
Yeah. Looking back over your career, what would you say would be one of your greatest achievements?
I come from a very humble background in an Indian family, right? And I am an 80s kid. So India became liberal and all of that in the 90s. Until then, we didn't have so many private things and all of that, right? Getting so far in my career itself is an achievement. On top of it, being able to change the gears in my career and getting into cybersecurity at a time when my kid was small, I had to give attention to him. I had to give attention to my personal life. I had to give attention and learn so many new things to be able to lead a team. And I'm very confident that I never appeared to my team that she's a novice. She's also learning along with us. I think that's the greatest achievement I have. I never let my personal time or personal life impact my work. I could manage that very well. And I never let my son feel that my mother is not available for me. So I could manage that very well. And I did not go and ask people for suggestions as to how I should manage and all. I created that plan for myself. I dedicated the right time for whatever work I want to do. And I could manage that. I think that is the greatest achievement in my life, that I could change my career path. I could learn. I could build a career for myself in cybersecurity. I'm now an expert, at least to some extent, in this domain. And it's not easy. And I think that's an achievement.
You mentioned you are a team leader. Do you have any advice for women who want to become leaders? Like, what type of qualities do you feel has helped you as a leader and a director right now?
Of course. So when you are a team lead or when you are in a corporate world, right, you get to see so many leaders, both men and women. You draw inspiration from a lot of them. And you don't like a lot of things that some people do. I was very clear about a lot of things that people were doing, which I never liked. You start behaving like an expert when you're not one. I didn't like people who used to give unnecessary advices when the other person is doing his work well. There were instances where I could see that people were not standing up for their team. So I was very clear that I don't want to be like that. But then I can only tell the listeners one thing, that there is no person who is behaving bad and no person who is behaving good. There are only situations where some people react in a particular way. So don't be judgmental on people. That's my learning in life. There would be some situations where a particular person A behaves very well, or at least to your standards. And then the same person would behave in a particular way that you would not like him. Oh, what the hell? What did my manager do? Or rather, my leader do? So always judge people based on their decisions, or take inspiration or learnings from the situations, not from people. Then what will happen is, when that kind of a situation happens in your life, you will be able to decide that I should not emulate that behavior, but I should emulate the other behavior. That will help you a lot. So don't be judgmental on people, because people's behavior changes with situations. It's a function of a lot of things in life. So always remember the situations and how a person acted, and then make a choice of whatever he did is right or wrong, and then try to emulate based on that and make your own choice.
It's fantastic, like you're saying, not to judge the people, but to understand they react a certain way to certain circumstances. And that's not, it's a very tolerant way to look at your team and leading a team. Okay, so I would love to know if, do you feel style plays a role in how you show up in your job?
Good question. And I would say, yes, it does play a role. How you show up to your work, how you appear, what kind of dress you choose to wear for a particular meeting. All that makes a lot of difference. People choose, or people judge you, or people take inspiration from you. If you are in a leadership role, people do take inspiration from you. So it's always important that you dress well. But I can only tell you one thing, that you dress or behave in a particular way that you can carry with confidence. Yeah. Don't just emulate someone. You saw a leader, she was wearing something very good and you liked it. Just don't go and buy that and think that the next time I'll wear the similar clothes and I'll behave the similar way in a meeting and I'll also be same inspirational. You might not be able to carry that. So style plays a very important role, but it should be your own, your unique one. And unique doesn't mean unique kind of dressing, but unique way of how you talk, unique way of how you present. Every person is different. And you should know what works for you and what doesn't. You should be confident in your skin. That's more important, rather than emulating or trying to be something which you are not. That is very important. But be well-dressed, be very confident, and carry things very well. Don't keep adjusting things here and there because you're not very comfortable in what you're wearing. That is very, very important. You have to be concentrating on your work when you are at work.
Say one of our listeners really wants more responsibility in their company. Say they want a promotion. How would you suggest they go about achieving this?
I will tell you, as a woman, first of all, we women tend to often start getting into gangs of other women when we go to workplace, right? We get attracted to other girls who are there, go for lunch together, go for chit-chatting together. First of all, avoid that. Don't do that. First and foremost important thing is, be part of the group that you work with or an external group. And don't judge that group by gender. Don't even get that. Don't consciously decide that I want to be in a group that is men only or a woman only. Be part of a group or consciously choose a group which is progressive. First thing, consciously, that is very important. I would not give you any theoretical answer. Consciously choose a group that is progressive. Choose a group where if you're part of that group, you can learn. Right? There is learning from others while they are talking is a very, very easy learning methodology, where you kind of sit with that person talks about his work, that person tells you what he is doing, and you learn. It's very important. So in an office or a corporate setup, the first thing is, be part of such groups. That is one. Number two, keep your ears open. Search for opportunities. Never think that opportunity will come to you. Mm-hmm. Search. Keep your ears open. Keep listening. Have your contacts. If something has come up, there's nothing wrong in approaching. Nothing wrong. If you feel you fit, you should go talk. You should say that I fit it. I have done this. And don't be worried if you are not selected. It's okay. It will tell you why you were not selected. And it will give you an opportunity to be able to work on yourself, to be able to be ready for the next opportunity. Look for those opportunities. Yeah. Present your case. Don't be shy about not approaching something. Go ahead, give it your best. If you fail, analyze why you failed. Take it positively. And the next time you will do very well.
My last question was, what three pieces of advice would you offer to women who want to succeed in the world of tech like you have?
As I said, look out for opportunities. Don't be in a women-only group. That is very, very important. Be in the group where you can learn. That's my first and foremost. And manage your time. Learn to manage your time. You need not sacrifice your personal life for your career. And you need not sacrifice your career for your personal life. Please don't do that. There is a way. Choose the right career option that gives you an opportunity to be able to manage both. And that is something that you only can do. There is no recipe for that. You have to understand how much time you need at home. You have to understand how much time you can give to your work. Based on that, choose the right option that suits your thing. And you will see that it will do wonders for you. Planning is very important. Please don't think that opportunities knock the door. They don't. And that's only a saying. Yeah. You have to look out for opportunities. You have to plan your life. If you plan it well and you are in the right group, you have the right connections and you give your 100% to your work. That should do. You build that credibility. Very important. Build that credibility by showing that you can do it.
Oh, that's such fantastic advice, Shivani. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast and sharing your own personal experiences. We've learned a lot from you and you're an inspiration to me and I'm sure lots of listeners today. So thank you so much for what you're doing for other women in tech.
Thank you, Kelly. I think it's great talking to you. And if in any way a small girl is able to take some inspiration from me and my story, I would be really happy. If anyone wants to talk to me on anything further, do reach out to me. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure talking to you.
Hey, if you are ready to get that promotion, I want to invite you to work with me one-on-one for 6 weeks. My unique combination of style, confidence, and career coaching gets results. We start with style because when you feel great in what you are wearing, you're ready to stand in your own true power. My goal is to see you succeed. So you either get that promotion or I give you your 1K back. Just head over to www.currencyofstyle.com/workwithme. I'll see you there.